I am Jesse Hintz.
I'm Shane Hintz.
And I'm Katie Hintz, holding baby James Hintz.
And we are in the state of Washington, and we listen to Brother Greg Miller at bbfohio.com.
Join us at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of bbfohio.com as we conclude our study in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through 14, titled Country Shepherds and the Heavenly Host. This is part 2 of 2.
So you know what it feels like, in a way, for these country shepherds. Because you know how pitch dark it had to be? I mean, you're out in the middle of the country, even if you have a little fire, you look away from that fire, it is black darkness, unless there's a full moon or a half moon like we've had the last few nights. So, verse 9 then says, or as we read in, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about. So it was bigger, brighter than the Ghettoburg spotlight. This is the glory of the Lord.
It's basically like daytime. It's like it turns
straight to
daytime.
Yeah. So verse 10, we continue, and it says, And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, why is it all? Well, because it's not just a select elect, but to all people, it's good news, of whom can be saved if they will receive it. See, the gospel is good news. The gospel is Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus is the gospel. And He came as a baby, but He grew up and died and shed His blood and paid for the sins of the whole world, not just the elect. He was buried and He rose again, paying the price for the sins of the whole world. But the application is where there's a difference. The payment is full and he is the propitiation, so that it is a full payment and is enough to pay for the sins of the whole world. But the appropriation is the question. And the appropriation of that payment only goes on your account when you believe that gospel, having repented toward God, with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are saved. That's when that blood payment is appropriated on your account, and you are then saved. Amen. So it continues in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this is a little thing, but it's important to me. You look at the word Savior, you'll see more and more people, it seems like, are spelling Savior without the U. And I just think it's an appropriate difference that when we talk about Jesus as the Savior, that we spell it the way the Bible, our Bible, spells it, with the U. Because there are many Saviors, but there is only one Jesus. Many Saviors who have saved things, saved countries, saved people, but only one who saved all who would believe. And that's Jesus. And that's why I like to spell the word Savior with the U. Make that difference. And this baby is the Lord Himself in human flesh. Look what it says. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Lord from heaven. That's over in 1 Corinthians 15. Look there. Look over at 1 Corinthians 15. And we're talking about the body and the resurrection of the dead. Verse 42 is sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. Verse 43 is sown in dishonor and raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and is raised in power. Then verse 44 says, It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And we should all say, Praise the Lord for that. We're not stuck in this natural body forever. And now look what it says in verse 45. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam, that's Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Adam, the first Adam, was not Jesus. The last Adam is Jesus. Now read what it says in verse 47. Read it with me. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You got to mark that in your Bible as a reference to the deity of Jesus Christ. And when we see Jesus referred to as the Lord, it's because He is the Lord from heaven. He is God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Over and over, Isaiah 9:6 calls Him the Mighty God. Over and over. And yet there are cults and whole religions based on their rejection of that truth that's replete throughout Scripture. The Jehovah's Witnesses say He's Michael the Archangel who became a man. And now He's Michael again. The Mormons say that He's the offspring of Elohim who was once a man. And His father was once a man who became a god and so forth. All false teachings, false doctrines. The Muslim religion denies that He was God manifest in the flesh. And they deny that He actually died on the cross and was resurrected. So when you hear these liberals say, oh, the Muslims highly respect Jesus. No, they blaspheme. And so forth. So back to Luke 2, we establish that Jesus is Christ the Lord. He is the Lord from heaven. And verse 12 says, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And we've never had a baby small enough, and Ezra probably won't be small enough when December comes around, but we've never had a baby small enough to put in a manger and have a little Christmas scene. So one year, when Mariah was, I can't remember how old, we had little Asa. And we used little Asa as the baby in the, because he was such a tiny, cute little thing with his tongue hanging out. And not disrespect or anything, it was cute. But anyway, so the sign, it says, is what? The sign is the baby. Isn't that amazing to think about? They're told, this shall be a sign unto you. Now, they could have walked, this is just the possibility. This is why this is a sign. You say, why is it a sign? They could have walked into town and not found the baby. They could have walked into town. You've got angels, okay? You've got the heavenly host. We talked about the bright light. This is quite a spectacle already. Do you need a sign? You've already got a sign. I mean, you've got the angels and there's, you know, heavenly host praising the Lord and everything. And then they further say, now here's the sign. You go into town, you're going to find a baby. Now, that may not impress you, especially if you're not paying close attention. I'm one of you. As I read this, sometimes it doesn't really jump out at you. But if you think about it, just like when Jesus told the men, go into town and ask a fellow, you know, if you can have the donkey. And they say, if they ask you why you need it, just say the Lord has need of it. And then they're going to give it to you. Try that down here at Reichert. Go to Reichert. Walk into Reichert and say, I want this Mustang here. What? The Lord has need of it. Oh, okay, here's the keys. I mean, that would be quite a sign, wouldn't it? Well, back then, a donkey was a Mustang. I mean, that was big time. Yeah, one horsepower. One. Or is that a mule? So, they find the baby. Cue the heavenly host. Better than any praise band we've seen in this world. Even better than the BBF band. The heavenly host. Yes, Barry. Look at verse 13, 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying... Now, let's stop this just for a second. We don't know how many, but we're sure that it filled the sky. Just try to imagine that. I mean, I've gone out at night and the bright full moon. I mean, it's so bright. Out where we're at, especially now, it's so bright when there's a full moon and there's no clouds in the sky. I can read my Bible or a book sitting on my back porch by the moonlight. And this was probably 100 times that. I'm sure they were like... And then how many? I believe there's enough to fill the sky. And that's going to be a lot of people because they're up there a little way. So, you know, it takes a lot of people to fill that massive space. It says they were saying. So if you want to get technical, they weren't singing. And yet, I think it was probably melodic. It was probably like music. It was probably very pleasant. Amen? I think that's what our... Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, this is not a call for a United Nations. And that's how this verse is used by a lot of people. Every year, especially, but not just Christmas. This is all the time. And they'll take a verse in Isaiah that talks about them beating their swords into plowshares, and they cut the verse in half because they don't want the part about the God in His wrath on the wicked and that kind of thing. But real world peace is what's being discussed here. So it's not what you get when you... And I don't watch these anymore, but they used to tune in the pageants for the good-looking women. And they'd always say, you know, what do you want to do if you win the crown of Miss Universe? I want to... I haven't got this on. I hope they can hear me up there. I want to advance world peace. I want to bring... I want to help bring world peace. And everybody's like, oh, it's so wonderful. And you just wish somebody's out in the crowd say, baloney! Because that's what it is. Real world peace will glorify God, not be godless. And today's world peace, all the peace movement, the United Nations, it's totally without God. It's a godless version of peace. It is not produced by men. Real world peace will be produced by God Himself.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. It is not produced by government. And that's what's so dangerous about the progressives and liberals and the social justice warriors and all that. When I'm going to tell you, Peter Ruckman said it, and everybody ought to quote him till the Lord comes back. Kingdom builders are bloody killers.
Amen.
You read human history, every time somebody tries to bring peace on earth using the government, that means a lot of people are going to die. Every time. And real world peace will not be ecumenical. When Jesus reigns on the earth, He's not going to sit at the head of the Parliament of World Religions. There will not be a Parliament of World Religions. There will not be an ecumenical movement. There will only be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name will be Jesus and Jesus only. Amen. So all this idea of, well, let's just get together and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. You know, that's not of God.
Amen.
Kumbaya. What did anybody ever figure out? I did some research on that once, and I can't remember what that word even means.
Come by here.
Come by here. Yeah. I don't like it, but it's right up there with "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." Some of the most nasty people I've known sing that song. And real world peace is only available through Jesus. And what Mark just said is absolutely dead on. Every time the United Nations has some kind of a thing about peace, they sing that blasphemous, disgusting song by John Lennon. And it's called Imagine. And it's basically saying, imagine your God, your Bible, Jesus, heaven and hell, none of that exists. Oh, how wonderful the world would be if we could just get rid of Jesus and Christianity. That's what that song is saying. Go read the lyrics sometime and think about it. So Jesus, knowing He was being rejected by the Jews, tells us clearly that world peace doesn't come until He returns. Give it up. Now, I'm not saying not to do right. I'm not saying not to love people. I'm not saying, but don't get involved in some government or political movement to try to bring world peace, because I'm telling you, it'll be deadly. That's the bottom line. Jesus came the first time, and He said this in Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And again, He's speaking at a different time. In Luke 12:51, it's recorded that He said, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. Now, I really want to make that a very important part of this ministry here at Bible Believers Fellowship. I want to be Christ's follower. I want to do what Jesus did and what He told us to do. So, we love you enough to tell you the truth. We could also have as a motto, we have come to sow as much division as possible. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because when you preach the gospel, you're going to divide. And that's what, you may not like to think of it, but when you preach the gospel, you're sowing division. Just one more thing. Today's peace and love movement is a preparation for the Antichrist. Turn to Revelation 6. In verses 1 and 2 in Revelation 6. Verse 1 says, and I saw when the Lamb... Who's that? Is your Lamb capitalized in your Bible?
Yes.
Should be. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Read verse 2 with me. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now look closely at that. This is taught falsely by most seminaries and denominations in the world today. That white horse is not Jesus. And it's taught that He is by the seminaries. And they use this verse to teach that what they call post-millennialism, that the church is going to conquer the world and rule the world for 1,000 years, and then Jesus returns afterwards. They've got it completely backwards. And this is not Jesus. That's the Antichrist. And look, He has a bow, but there's no arrows. And He's not shooting at anybody. He's not killing anybody. Why? Because He conquers with, listen, conquers with peace. When the Antichrist comes, He is going to make you look like you were an idiot. Because we've been raptured out, so they're going to think the aliens have taken us to re-educate us or whatever. Or just removed us because we're blocking world peace. And to prove that, you are the problem. Along comes the final pope who declares a world religion and gathers all the world religious leaders together with him. But he's at the head of the table. And he, the vicar of Christ, blasphemy. The Holy Father, blasphemy. He's claiming to be God on earth already. And he is going to bring peace on earth. And they're going to say, man, that Dan, all that nonsense he was blabbing about the Antichrist coming and being... We didn't know Antichrist. This is the Christ right here. And He's brought us peace. All those Christians said the Antichrist was going to blow up the world. See, they don't listen. They don't actually read the Bible. And so their false ideas will be their stumbling block. They think we're saying that when the Antichrist comes, all hell breaks loose. No, no, no. You have 3.5 years. Then all hell breaks loose. And for 3.5 years, you're going to be thinking, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Antichrist is a man of peace. But his promise will fail. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, that's when the Antichrist comes. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Olivia, most recently in the room, when you were with travail upon you with child, do you imagine everybody on earth feeling that way at one time? It was bad enough you were going through it. Now, as men, we can't really identify with that too much, although I've heard that kidney stones come close. So some of you have experienced something similar. Now, the whole world is going to be in that kind of a fit at one point during that last 3.5 years. They're going to be crying out for the rocks to fall on them and they won't be able to die. That's something to think about. But it says they shall not escape. Now look at verse 4. Verse 3 says, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.'" Now the first guy on the white horse brought peace, but look what happens. Verse 4, read that with me. "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." Hollywood evidently has canceled the movie here in August of 2019 called The Hunt, that they were going to put out a movie where rich elite leftists were going to hunt deplorables and kill them for sport. Well, I'm not for banning movies or anything. I just think you ought to expose the reality to them. And then if people don't watch them, they'll lose money. But there'll be people go watch those movies. And if The Hunt comes out later on, which it might, you know, 6 months down the road or whatever, that's what it'll be like during the tribulation period. I believe that those who do not take the mark will be hunted down like animals. And there'll be bounties on their heads, and they'll be better alive than dead. I bet they'll probably get more money for you if they bring you back alive. But if they have to, they'll kill you. And that's what it's going to be like, that movie The Hunt. So until then, our calling is to present the real source of peace, Jesus Christ. Until that day and the Antichrist comes, as long as you're on earth, our calling is to present the real source of peace, who is Jesus. Romans 10:15 describes it. "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." In the meantime, we enjoy peace by faith in Jesus Christ. As Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen?
Amen.
As my two musicians come forward and I knock things off here, we're going to sing number 9 in the praise book. This gives you an opportunity if you do want to ask a question, have a comment. Anybody? Now, some of you wait till after we're done and then you take me off the side and ask me a question. And I'm telling you, you ought to ask now because other people can benefit from it. And if you think you're asking a stupid question, don't worry, we'll tell you if you do.
Oh, now I feel a lot better.
It's just like, we're among friends. Yeah, Janie?
I've had people, I try to witness to people on the bus, and of course I get blown off, but they're always telling me, we already have heaven. We have heaven on earth. And I'm like, no, you do not have heaven on earth. You,
that's quite a delusion. Because every one of them are going to end up dying and rotting. How heavenly is that? Every one of us are going to die and we're all going to rot our bodies as far as, you know.
I try to give them scriptures for reading. They're like, I don't need that.
But, you know, that's all we're here for is to offer. We can't force anybody. Yes, Stephen?
So was Jesus peace on earth?
He is peace. And when he was on earth, he brought the offer, but he was rejected and killed. So we have to wait for the second time.
The prayer song, Every Bell on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
One of the favorite lines from that I get is, says, "And in despair..."
Say it real loud.
"And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men."
Man mocks that statement and will until he returns. That's a great line.
He was actually talking about the war, Civil War.
Yeah.
So about how it mocked peace on earth.
Yeah, and you think about the Civil War, and the worst things about it is there were good Christian people on both sides, and they were holding prayer meetings and revival meetings, and they went weeks at a time without fighting. They'd have camp meetings. Both sides. All praying in the name of Jesus Christ, and then they go kill each other. Yeah, that's when it started. And camp meetings, you know. at least the way we do them today, started about in the Civil War. So let's sing about it. As we read, you can stand and we'll sing number 9.
Beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and praise. Glad tidings of good things, glad tidings of good things, in Jesus our all good things. Glad tidings of good things, glad tidings of good things, the gospel brings you and me. Behold a good and how pleasant it is. Oh, brethren, to dwell together in unity, in unity, in Jesus.
Child of the King, a child.